Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We are now counting down the days to the federal election. By this time next week, it'll be all over. Bring it on. Curiously, at the start of the final week, Labor's had its campaign launch today with a lively, never-say-die performance from Kevin Rudd. As for the Coalition, it now seems that we won't be getting their much talked about costings till just a couple of days before we vote. All along, they've said, we'll get them in good time. Do you reckon that's good enough, just a couple of days? So, for the final time, before we vote, our Open House campaign guru, Stephen O'Doherty, joins us. Stephen, welcome back.
Hello, Lee.
It's been quite a week for you, my friend. Let's begin with Kevin Rudd's launch today. As I said, it's curiously a bit late for a launch.
It is late for a launch. You traditionally would do that, back in my day, we used to do it at the very start.
Yes, funny about that.
To kick along.
Yes.
They timed today, I think, so that they could rally their troops, and certainly that was the way he came across today. There was a lot of material, particularly, I think, in the last 5 or 6 minutes. Around about the time he started talking about their initiatives on trade training and so on, TAFEs, technical education.
Jobs.
Yep, jobs. From there to the end, it was as much about getting policy out there into the community as it was about rallying his own troops.
Yes.
Because if you're the Labor Party and the polls are so much against you, one of the major things that happens is the party members themselves get very dispirited. In fact, you could see, one of the TV stations had a couple of shots of people asleep during his launch, but
yeah,
that was pretty unkind.
Yeah.
You could actually see that the mood in the room was tentative. So multiply that hundreds of times, thousands of times around the country, the people that have to get out, man the booths, do the stuff, let alone the voters, the rusted-on Labor voters. This was as much about saying to them, come on, troops, it's time for us to put our shoulder to the grindstone and make a final effort to the end. It was as much about that as it was actually courting votes.
Save me from myself, in a way, because he's got everything riding on this.
Mm.
What's their strategy then? Will the troops be motivated? I mean, it is a bit late in the day. I heard Mark Riley on Channel 7 say tonight, if Kevin Rudd had done this 4 weeks ago,
yep,
Tony Abbott might be a lot more worried.
Yep. Look, back in on the night that he took the leadership, I know that a very senior Labor Party figure was talking about the August 24 election date. And it just mystifies me why he didn't go sooner than that.
Okay.
In fact, it wasn't August 24, I think it was in September, but it was a very early election date. It mystifies me why he didn't go early. The polls came close together in terms of the two-party preferred not long after he took the leadership. If he'd capitalised on that, if he had done what he did tonight at the start of the campaign,
Yeah. You
never know. But look, in the end, I suspect, Lee, history will say that you just couldn't overcome the disengagement of people, firstly with politics itself, but secondly, particularly with a Labor government over the last 3 years, and I suspect we're heading for a landslide.
He flicked a far more negative switch on Tony Abbott today.
Yes, in this last week, remember, it's about containment for them. If they think they can't actually win, there would not be people in the Labor Party, who, apart from the really rusted-on truest of true believers, who think they can win. So the strategy is that they've got to try to prevent people from either being so angry that they'll vote coalition for the first time or being, afraid. So they want to throw a few scaredy cat lines down themselves.
Yeah.
If you vote for Tony Abbott, your job will be gone. They talk about teachers, nurses. The reality is the Commonwealth doesn't actually employ teachers and nurses.
Yeah. Your impressions of the atmospherics of this event, the style of it?
They talked about it being an American style, so this theatre in the round business with the people right up to the stage,
yeah,
as if they're sort of clamouring to touch the great man.
Kind of the town hall.
Yeah,
meeting.
The town hall look, as opposed to the coalition, which was more traditional with a stage and so on. I have to say, the coalition got the imagery right. It had the angle, the camera angles just right. We talked last time about the backdrop to the leader. Today, when Kevin Rudd actually went to introduce, I think it was, it may have been Paul Keating or Bob Hawke, he asked them to stand up. And as soon as they stood up and then everybody else stood up, they were completely out of the camera shot. So small details like that.
Yep, sure.
Those are not accidental. When you get a great camera shot of someone like that, it's someone's designed that shot, as you know.
Yes.
So the fact they hadn't thought that through just shows that it didn't have as much glam as it should have.
Okay, let's look at the other side. Do you think it's good enough to only get these much talked about costings from the Coalition just a couple of days out from polling day next Saturday, as it seems we will?
Yeah, people are very frustrated about that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look, a couple of things on the costings. It's probably not good enough, but it is true to say that oppositions simply don't have the resources of governments. That's quite plain. When they bring out their costings, there will be the opportunity for people in these days of electronic media to scrutinise them because they'll be able to go online to see them, but it'll be after the electronic news blackout.
Yeah.
What that means in practical terms is Labor will not be able to refer to the document and bombard voters with advertising in the 2 days leading up to the poll. And there's no... I mean, in a way, that's a good thing, because you can't judge the truthfulness of advertising, frankly, especially in the last few days. But, you know, people who are persuaded by political advertising need to just take a step back and try to analyse for themselves. So that's their strategy. And in the end, two things have happened that undermine completely Labor's only attack. They're attacking on the basis of it doesn't add up. And yet, when they produced their so-called evidence of that, three significant public servants came out, senior public servants, the head of Treasury, Finance, and then the Parliamentary Budget Office, had to come out and distance themselves from that claim.
That was a huge moment.
That was a huge moment, because it showed that Labor was actually prepared to be deceitful in order to run this line.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got their knuckles wrapped by senior public servants now undermines anything they say for the next week about costings.
Mind you, the look, I think, of keeping the costings till the last couple of days, there'll be a lot of people who say, well, what have you got to hide? And probably not just in the media.
Well,
and are you taking us for mugs?
My own view on that is that, firstly, they've got a narrative about it, so it's a plausible excuse that the costings will come out, but after they've finally announced everything. Secondly, the political reality, though, Lee, is that if Labor is attacking the Coalition on the basis of economic policy, we know from years of polling that economic policy is the Coalition's major strength for voters.
Yep.
So if they're inclined to believe anybody, voters are going to be more inclined to believe the Coalition on the issue of economic policy than to believe the Labor Party. With the slip-up they had with these three public servants during the week, I think the Labor Party's ability to attack on that issue is now gone. They ought to have been attacking harder, probably on where the cuts might fall or where, you know, attacking on specific policy issues. But the Coalition's just been too clever. Most of their major commitments are very close to the Labor Party in spending. So it's very hard to drive a wedge except in these more local issues, which is why the real campaign for the next 6 days is going to be fought at the ground level.
Oh, yes.
Literally hand-to-hand combat in the electorates.
So it's 6 days to go. How would you say the Christian community should be thinking this week as they prepare to vote, Steve?
Well, I was asked, I spoke at an election forum during the week run by my own church in Sydney, and I was asked, do you vote for the local member or do you vote for the party leader? You know, how do you choose? What's the best way to choose?
Yeah.
And, of course, the answer is different for every person. I said that I tend to vote for the people who I know locally, because that's sort of the world that I've lived in. But I think most people will vote for the party leaders, and there's certainly an element of that for all of us. So my overall answer, I think, Lee, is this. In the end, this election actually is about leadership. They nominated it at the very start. And in a sense, all elections are about that, because, and I don't just mean the leader of the party, I mean the leadership our nation requires to move forward in a way that prospers all citizens and makes the country safe and harmonious and a good place to live, and generous and hospitable and just and merciful when it needs to be. So whoever ends up being the Prime Minister next week, as Christians, firstly, we want to pray for them. But secondly, we want to pray that they will exercise this very high office that God has called them to, because I firmly believe it to be true, what what is written in Romans by Paul. God appoints the authorities. He allows men and women to use power in our world from time to time, and therefore the way they use that power, they are ultimately, whether they know it or not, fully responsible to him for the way in which they exercise that power. So we want to pray and hope that whoever is elected is going to be just, merciful, and exercise great humility before our living God.
What burdens of office, then. Mm. Now, you have two favourite moments from the last week.
I do.
Please explain.
Well, I was involved in, I was present at the launch of the Liberal Party's education policy, which took place at Penrith Christian School during the week. It was a wonderful event. And what I observed was the terrific way that both Tony Abbott, Christopher Pyne, and those who were with them engaged with young people. And there was a moment that I just loved, or two moments, I guess. The first was, he was asked by a kindergarten kid, Lee, what was his favourite subject in kindergarten. And he thought for a moment and said, finger painting. And he's actually really good with little kids. He's just terrific. And then the second moment that I really enjoyed was that afterwards a few of us, the school's leadership, the school captains, a couple of my colleagues and the party, just engaged in a small discussion about election issues. And Tony said, look, you've been very good in letting us use your school today. Is there anything you want to talk to me about? What do you want to, you know, ask me about? And I nudged the Year 12 captain. I said, go on, this is your chance.
Yes.
She said, after a while of thinking, she said, Mr. Rudd, what are we going to do about the national savings strategy? Because compared to other countries, we don't have a lot of savings, personal savings. We tend to be a nation of, you know, borrowers, debtors. And that's going to impede our growth going forward.
What a question.
It was a fantastic question. And he engaged with her in such an intelligent, sensible way. It was a conversation between a young person who's going to vote for the very first time
fantastic.
On Saturday and the man who is most likely to be Prime Minister. And there was such great respect there. I thought, if only people could see that this is what the democratic process is truly about.
Yeah. If only our media would show it. Mine's to take to the complete polar opposite, Julian Assange's bizarre video remake of John Farnham's song, You're the Voice. I guess that's what happens when you get cabin fever inside the Ecuadorian embassy. It was quite amazing. Well, this will be all over by this time next week. We'd love to get you back in for a big wrap-up, and we've got a couple of feelers out for some significant people, so watch that space as well. Stephen O'Doherty, thank you so much,
as always.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.